Yo, we are back for another episode of Artist Talk, this one bringing some new diversity to the table as far as music genre goes. For this one, we got Dak Janiels and Decimate, two bass artists, which I haven't had on the podcast up till now. But, you know, it's funny because I always have found that musicians in the most intense genres, like heavy metal and bass music, tend to be the nicest people, and I definitely can say that this episode was a testament to that. But, I mean, you check it out for yourself and let me know what you think. Enjoy the episode, guys.
Yo.
Yes, sir. What up, boy?
What's going on?
What up, guys? Big blessings.
What's good? How are you?
Chilling, dude. Just in the studio.
In the stew. You love to see it.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, bro?
Chilling, man. Chilling. Same thing. I was taking a nap. I'm very efficient with my time when it comes to, like, being
awake. Me too, bro. I'm super punctual with that shit.
Yeah.
Where are you located?
I am in Orlando, Florida.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we're on the same time zone right now.
Where are you from?
I'm in D.C. right now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm from L.A. originally, though.
Yo, how long have you guys not seen each other? Or, like, last time you talked?
We talk a lot, but I feel like the last time I saw Ryan was probably I'm trying to think, dude, when?
Did I see you? I think the last time I actually physically saw you was at your drive-in show when you brought me out in Arizona.
No, we played Houston together.
Oh, yeah, I'm tripping.
Yeah, I played Houston show.
Yeah, we definitely played Orlando and Houston together. I'm tripping.
Sick.
I don't know, my memory's fucked.
Yeah, I met Tanner once, briefly, backstage at Celine in Orlando.
Okay, yeah, that's where we played, Celine.
You were at that show?
I mean, no was way. It a different time? Because me and him played together.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, when was that?
I honestly don't remember, but...
It was last year. When I went, it was last year. Like
Yeah, October, it was last year, man.
Like October or like November.
Damn,
no, it was before October. Maybe it was August.
No, I think you were on that lineup.
Damn. Yeah, for sure was. I didn't meet you, bro. I didn't get to meet you.
Damn, man.
Damn, we were both there.
That's fucking crazy. That was actually the last time I saw Decimate, because I think that came in before Houston or after Houston.
Wait, was that after Houston? Maybe. I don't know, but that Houston show was fucking popping, bro.
Yeah, that shit was mad fun, dude.
What venue?
Stereo Live, bro.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a good one. That was definitely one of the good ones for sure.
That's huge.
I saw that.
That's sick. Damn.
You guys, Daniels, bro.
You guys know you're the first two bass artists on this show.
And
it's been going for like...
You haven't touched that hard, bro.
Dude, you're bringing the new vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love doing these because I just get to hang out with everyone. And a lot of the time, it's like you guys where it's like you guys haven't seen each other in a while and you're just getting to chill over this. And I get to bring people together as well that are homies.
I'm just hyped that we could have three people in here.
Yeah, it goes up to four people, actually.
It's tight.
I just found that out, that it goes up to four, like sadly, shortly, close to here.
No, I mean, no, dude, I haven't used Instagram Live since, like, I think when I used it, you could only do yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I haven't used this feature.
Yeah, we got some 40-ounce gang in here, I think.
Yeah, we got
Handsome Savages, baby.
Trying to get a kickflip in the chat.
How the hell are you going to do a kickflip in the chat?
I've done a trade football live before. I just, like, set my phone up.
Okay.
I love the rumor.
How are our fans going to do a kickflip?
I love how I started the rumor to myself, though, that, like, I can't do kickflips because I'm so bad at them. And then kids at me will come up to shows and be like, you suck, you fucking don't skate. I'm like, dude, I do them switch. I actually do them way better switch.
Bro,
so,
it was me, and they were telling me that. I whip out my tech deck right away and just fucking show them up, bro.
There you go.
But I had this kid who was convinced it was all a facade. He's like, you really skate or is it a joke? I was like, no, I skated for 20 years and fucking, I just hate those tricks.
Dude, it's that fake online beef, bro. It's hype.
That's so sick. Yeah, when Taylor came on, she was mentioning, because I asked about the label, of course, and I was just asking about the history, and she said you started it, and then she hopped on in a little bit later.
So yep.
Tell me about, like, what made you want to start a label through skating?
To be honest, it's funny because I originally started 40 Ounce as like a clothing thing. At the time, we had an opportunity to stock our stuff in Brooklyn Projects, which is like a legendary skate shop in LA. And Eric, my co-founder, used to be the brand manager at Supra Footwear, huge skate shoe company. And using that knowledge that he had with like production and stuff, and then I actually worked at a skate shop when I was in high school and stuff, and just kind of, I didn't want to make like band merch. And as much as I love supporting my friends, like I'll always wear one of my homies' artist logo shirts or whatever. That's such like a limited market. I mean, I'm not the kind of person who's going to wear a fucking dude's name on my shirt randomly every single day.
Right. I'll wear your name on my shirt, Tanner.
I mean, bro, like that's the thing. If you're my homie, it's different. But like I immediately off the bat was like, how do I make my clothing the most marketable thing possible for myself at least? And for me, it's like I like identifying with like a group. Like I'm a huge Baker fan, like huge Shake Jam fan, and companies like that, it's like I don't like them because of one person, I like them because the whole thing. So 40 Ounce was like a really good opportunity for me to like make clothing first instead of making merch, like paying attention to quality and making stuff that like lasts people long. I fucking hate fast fashion. I think it's like super bad for the environment.
Yeah,
so it was something just to be different than like 99% of artist merch, quote unquote, was for a time. It was like slap a logo on and call it a day, you know?
Yeah,
and I think now it's cool seeing so many other things pop up where like the fashion aspect's like definitely there, but we're like the only one that's been like an authentic skate thing, actually stocking our product in like core skate shops that are like family owned and stuff, rather than going for like immediately for like a Tilly's plug or something like that is like something not important to us.
I didn't even know that you guys did that. That's hype.
I mean, dude, skate culture and skate clothing is something that I hold so close to my heart, and it's so easy to make corny. Like, I've seen other people do like skate influence stuff, and I know for a fact they've never stepped on a board. And for me, it's like I'm not putting a fucking baseball bat in a softball on my shit. You know?
You're out skating every day.
Yeah, I'm like I really go. So.
yeah, I feel you.
So like, you started skating before producing?
Oh yeah. I started skating when I was 4 years old.
Bro, I started skating when I was like 7. Dude, yeah, I have not hopped on a deck in like 12 years, but I used to do like 3 stairs, bro. Big time.
Big time. 3 stairs, big time.
I used to skate down to the local market, bro. They used to have like a little like drop off behind the market, like where they dump all the trash and shit. And all my friends used to just like manual pad, fucking skate off that shit.
They call that the loading dock, bro.
Loading dock. There you go. Loading dock.
Me and my friends used to go, like, when we were kids, sit a loading dock all day.
Yeah, bro. You'd be there all day, bro. You got some wax with you. You're chilling. That's all you need.
That's so sick.
And water. And water.
And water. And water. That's so sick. Yeah, because, like you said, no one's really incorporated, you know, skating into their stuff as in, like, a genuine, it came from skating, the label came from skating and things like that. That's huge. And also the fact that you're focused on clothing as a quality thing is a big deal. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard of the artist Doggo. He's a buddy of mine.
Okay, the name sounds familiar. It rings a bell.
So he's a bass house producer, a close friend of mine. He's been on an episode before, and he is also doing like quality streetwear. And I feel like he's the only person other than you guys that I've heard of that does that. And then also, you know about freaking Price putting on 40 Ounce on all of his, like, bike stuff.
Yeah. I sent him over our logos and graphics. When he asked if we could do that, I was like, dude, I should be asking you. So, yeah, Price is the shit, man, honestly. And that's been the greatest thing about 40 Ounce is seeing all the people who we've linked up with and stuff link up with each other or do things that they want to do. Like, I often tell people when they hit me up with an idea or, like, they want to do a merch collab, I'm like, dude, if I can help facilitate something to come for an idea to come to life, dude, that's why I'm here, for sure.
Hell yeah. I love it. What inspired the house branch of 40 Ounce? I think I know the answer.
I have a feeling that. Yeah, I mean, that's entirely spearheaded by my sister.
Yeah,
it's cool. Like, I wanted her to have, like, when she helped on taking on the label management side, I wanted her to have some ownership too on like releases. And I've never been shy about, like, she's released with 40 Ounce, and I didn't want it to be solely looked at as just a dubstep thing. And we have so many friends who make house, Price, Birthday Party. You know what I mean? Like, we just had Dice, my homie Nightlight, and Gallo on our last compilation. Yeah. Like, so it was kind of a natural progression. I also love house music too. I play house in my sets as well. But I think that the, it branched off naturally because of my sister. And then it's funny enough, our new branding for the house compilations is called like Death by House Music.
Yeah.
My sister were getting tattoos one day and she was going to get Death by Rock and Roll on her arm. And I just thought it was hilarious. I was like, why? Like, I was like, why don't you get Death by House Music? No one has that tattoo. And then we decided to name the compilation series that afterwards. That's so right. I was like, it's on your body forever. You may as well make that the branding for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And well, and for her, it's like she has so much dope heat in her sets from her friends. And like, literally remember she was like, we should release some of this because like these guys aren't getting the shine that we thought they deserve. And like, you know, I think
that's why I respect your label. And that's why I respect Savage Society, because it gives artists a chance when all these other huge labels are just like shooing them away, you know?
And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like I mean, Savage is the same way. I look at a label like, yes, you could look at it totally as a business. And I do with my merch in some ways. But when it comes to music, it's like, I didn't start a record label to get rich. No, you know what I mean?
Record label isn't even like the scale of what it is. There's no way. Like if you're a freaking subsidia, maybe, you know, when you have like thousands.
Yeah, I mean, if your overhead doesn't overtake your budget for stuff. I mean, like I genuinely tell people all the time, like don't ever start a record label and expect to make money. You know what I mean? Like for me, this is a passion thing. I'll do this as long as I'm doing Dak Geno's and as long as I can otherwise. But I look at it as like a responsibility, not to sound
It's fueling the community.
Yeah, not to sound super lame, but like without having artists run labels, it's like then all of a sudden it's literally the antithesis of what music is. It's, you know, business. What I mean? And that being said, dude, I've done a major release. You know, I did a remix last year for a major and stuff like that. So it's like there's definitely a fine balance, and what they do is equally important. But
yeah, like they for sure help fuel your fan base, you know?
Yeah. It's totally like a Uncle Ben, Spider-Man situation, though, of the power responsibility of being like sick. Like, you know, there's so many times where I hear songs from people and I have to flat out tell them, like, I can't help you as much as you think this is going to help. Come back and like maybe work on branding and maybe release a song. And people come to me with a brand new artist project. And like, I at least am confident enough to tell people when I can't make their dreams come true or something like that.
Right,
so like, I'd rather be honest with you and help you get to that point on your own. And then let's work and get something popping. You know,
see, like that's where it comes back to you saying like artists run record labels. Like there's just such a huge difference, because when you have an artist running a record label, it's like, you know, they've been through the trenches. Like they know exactly what other artists are looking for. And like, just like you said, you're giving input, you're giving feedback to help them grow and turn into like, you know, something that maybe you could push. And that's something that like regular record labels won't do.
Yeah.
You treat them like armor, essentially, you know?
And that's, I feel like that's what every smaller and growing artist would want from a label. So to get that from artist ran labels is huge, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's also, the last thing I'll say, I think there's also a different level of transparency with it. Because I've had people who are very, very new come to me and like, a year passes from the release and they're like, what's up with my money? I'm like, the $13 that I made after paying for artwork, getting a PR campaign manager and stuff, you know what I mean? And it's like, I feel better having those conversations with people and showing them, I'll flat out show them a royalty that I get from other labels and be like, look, this is the harsh reality of music. It's like,
I don't know how many times I've had to have that conversation with other artists, like collaborators and stuff. Like it's not, royalties are not what people think they are. Like as an artist, you're making your money playing shows and doing other sorts of things, like whatever you can, like essentially make yourself turn something into an asset that you do, that you know you're creative about. Like personally, I do graphic design and stuff too. Like I'm like a whole powerhouse of shit. Like not only do I do music, I do visual work, I do graphic design, like I do everything. So
I tell people all the time that you have to be multifaceted in talent in order to be an artist in 2022.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not nearly as good at graphic design as you, Ryan, but like having that skill and the ability for me to make a mix or a showcase or something like that and do my own art for it.
So you don't have to pay for it, and like it's all in-house and you know exactly what vision you want.
Yeah.
Like other people can't do it for you sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Straight up. And not, you won't always have budget to do that, especially early on with stuff. And that's what I think it's healthy to have those conversations with artists. I tell them that all the time with 40 Ounce and stuff. You know, people sometimes expect that I'm dropping thousands of dollars on their release, and it's like, dog, like as much as that would be cool, that doesn't make sense for any of us. It's gonna overly you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I could do, like, that's why I'm really happy that we work consistently with a couple of different graphic designers for releases and stuff like that, keep them with work and keep them with, you know, keep them with income coming in,
loyalty.
But I swear I feel like these days, it's like you got to be an expert at social media. You got to be an expert with marketing to a degree.
Marketing.
You got to have some level. I think a requirement should be some level of graphic design. You know what I mean?
Literally, so just like just photoshopping some like a logo onto something. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
You guys know who the main person when we're talking about this multifaceted concept is? You know, Andrew Fox?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bro, I call him Robin. He kills it. He learns a million different things. Every time I'm like, yo, what are you working on? Not music. I'm learning how to make like 3D models. I'm learning how to make my artwork. I'm learning how to like, you know, make a ton of shit in Premiere. I'm like, dude, holy crap.
That's exactly me, bro. Like, I'll use obviously FL Studio for music. I'll run into Ableton and like different DAWs, Reason, but I'll
use same with Reason.
I'll use Premiere. I'll use Blender. Like, I'll do all this graphic shit too. Like, I've made like half of my visuals that you see when I perform, I made them. So, I've done some for the boys and shit too. Like, I'll just like my homies and shit, I'll fucking do some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think people too, when they find that out, like, that's what gets me gassed on an artist too. When I'm like, oh,
you're like, whoa, what?
Yeah. Well, in a similar sense, like when I started 40 Ounces, started doing clothing stuff, I had a lot of really good resources of people. Like I had the guy who did, I don't know if you guys remember the company Crew with a 3.
Oh, yeah, of course. So their
printer lives in LA. He's a friend of ours too. I mean, he gave me a ton of like really, really, really like high level manufacturing knowledge. And like, he mentored us for like, you know, a couple months when we first started. And then in that same sense, like, dude, I remember reading books on like jewelry making before I ever made the 40 ounce rings, one of our first like poppin' items, you know what I mean? And like, I feel like I'm the kind of person where I will never interject on a conversation if I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because I hate the feeling of feeling dumb or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I can learn a skill or if I can learn at least knowledge about something to be one step more in the know, it's like, that's so worth it. Because like, I know a lot of people these days who are, and this isn't a bad thing either, it's just different kinds of people, like who are so single lane focused on making dubstep or making bass music. And that's what goes back to like, I think you should constantly be learning, whether it's your production and getting your skills up there, or if it's, you know, learning like Premiere, After Effects, like Ryan's talking about. It's like, at the end of the day, the less you got to rely on other people, the more you can just do your own creative vision, you know?
And not only just your creative vision, but then you can monetize yourself. Like, you know, if an opportunity comes up where somebody needs some certain work done, you have that knowledge, you have the resources. Yeah. And if that like doesn't present itself right now, like somewhere down the line, something might. So it's good to have knowledge in all sorts of different aspects of life, whether it be like in the music industry or whatever, you know?
100%. I wanted to ask, as far as like dubstep goes and bass music and things like that, how does it change your viewpoint on production than when you're going into the studio to make house or bass music?
Yeah. Well, I've made a house tune with Taylor.
No. Moving, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I play that shit all the time.
I'm not gonna lie, that's like my only house tune I think that's out. I've made other house tunes, but that's like the only one that I've made that I'm like really like hyped about and glad that I've made that.
I go hard on that tune, bro. I play it all the time, man.
I'm not gonna lie.
It's like one of my favorite songs.
I'm not gonna lie, the approach I took on that is literally the same approach I take with dubstep though.
Really?
Like, I'll always start producing, like, sound design. Like, I always start making bass sounds and shit. Because, like, I have, like, my drum kits and shit. Like, I'll always go to my go-to drum sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I always start production, just sound designing, and I'll put a recorder on my entire master, and I'll record the whole thing. So if I did stumble upon something that's, like, magical, but then I, like, accidentally messed it up, I could go back to it and I have the audio samples, and then I do a bunch of resampling and stuff like that.
That's so smart. I never thought about recording on the master.
Well, dude, I'm not gonna lie, FL Studio.
Yeah, because you got Edison, right?
Yeah, bro. Edison is insane. I haven't found any other recorder plugin that just, you know, is up to comparison to Edison, in my opinion.
I'll do that, and I'll just do like a resampling layer on Ableton. So I'll just like have
just printing or something.
Yeah, and I'll do it in real time. So I'll just sit there and tweak things, and I'll come up with sounds that way. But I'm similar. I actually am kind of weird, and I like have to write intros first. Like if I don't have like at the very least,
I'm
like,
the exact opposite, bro.
If I don't have like an in key buildup, I just like, I'm like a lost puppy. I'm like, dude, what the fuck am I doing?
That's so weird because for me, like if I write an intro first, I feel limited. Like I feel like I'm like locked into something.
So I'm the opposite. I feel like when I write,
it helps focus you in on your idea.
Yeah, I like feel like my intro has to be one way or another. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I definitely have times where I sit.
And you write know, it's weird.
Drop first
for me. My intro it kind of comes last. Like I'll always produce a drop first. And then where I get my musicality for my intro is when I start creating like a breakdown after the drop. I'll like take some of the elements from the drop and like make a breakdown, you know?
Okay.
And I'll play like a melody in my head and then I'll get that out. And then from there, I can then piece together an intro that's in key with that. It's so backwards.
Yeah, I feel like the main difference when it comes to like house versus dubstep though is like, I mean, Ryan, you've been doing this forever too, but I mean, I've been making dubstep since like 2010 or 11, and then doing Dak Daniels since 2013.
Yeah.
But doing a dubstep song, as shitty as this sounds, it's like it becomes linear at a point when you've been making them so many times. I mean, there's, you know, okay, 32 bar intro and this.
Yeah.
But I really flex my creativity on my sound design when I'm getting there. I mean, I make all my sounds from scratch and shit. And then when I'm making a house song, I feel like I'm definitely learning in the process more because it's not something I do all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like riding a bicycle every single day. And then you, all of a sudden you go ride a unicycle.
Right.
Like, yeah, they're similar, but there's definitely key things that are different. But I really like branching off of, I mean, this could be said for any genre. Like when I make hip hop beats or when I make a mid-tempo song or something, it's like I'm learning the whole time I'm producing. And then by the time I'm done with the song, it's like I picked up three different new techniques. And then
you use that in the dubstep shit.
Exactly. That's
no, what I really feel like you, bro. Too. Like with house music and shit, like for me, like when I was making Moving with Taylor, it was like me always constantly referencing other house tunes.
Yep,
and totally. And kind of just seeing how they organize the shit. And then, like, me using my dubstep influence, because I didn't want to be exactly like that. I wanted to be unique a little bit. So, like, I would organize it kind of how dubstep is organized, but, like, with that influence, you know?
Yep.
So it happened to be, like, a 32-bar drop, you know? But, like, as far as dubstep goes, lately I've been trying to break out of the whole 32-bar intro thing and kind of, like, I try and make my intros a little bit more melodic now, too.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, some people just, I've heard songs 16-bar build right into the drop.
Like, you could do that. You could do that, especially with, like, rhythm shit. Like, it's definitely straight to the point. But I have a few 16-bar intros that are super intricate. Like, even though it's 16 bars, it's still, like, it feels like a soundscape or like a journey or something, you know? Like, even though it's short and sweet, it's still like enveloping, you know? It's not just like a fucking hi-hat and a fucking bass sound with reverb and like a kick drum building up, you know? Like how mush shit.
Oh, you mean all of 2014 dubstep?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I like to use a lot of like melodic shit in my intros, and then I like doing like counter melodies on my breakdown and stuff.
Counter melodies for sure.
Like if you listen to a lot of my breakdown stuff, like I honestly am like so influenced by like old G style rap, like Mr. Doctor and like Brother Lynch, where like it has those really glidey synths in the background. I swear, dude, like I probably put a glide synth at least on every single song in some capacity. You know what I mean?
I feel you. Yeah, that's lately fun. I've been doing a lot of like chord progression, like I'll do like an arpeggiated like pattern or something, like a whatever, and like a chord progression, and then I'll like layer another lead on it or something, doing like a counter melody to it, and it just plays with it, and then the sub, whatever the sub is doing, it's its own progression, you know? So it's like everything kind of works together.
Yeah, definitely. And like I love hearing this because hearing everyone's individual way and workflow in making music is so dope, because you can always learn from different people and just having conversations like this.
I could go on about this shit.
It's funny. Tanner actually talked about something that I wanted to ask you guys. Who would be like your biggest influences since like day one of producing?
Yeah, let Tanner go first. Go first, Tanner.
I feel like in terms of bass music specifically, there's like a shorter list. It's like Getter for me, probably number one. Like Getter has always been one of my favorite artists in terms of pushing the envelope. And then specifically for me, like I was a really big 12 gauge fan. Like when I first started off, it was a lot of like only tear out stuff.
Damn, bro, that's cool.
And then probably like Baron and Recoil era of Firepower. Like that was like a really big influence on sound back in the day. And then honestly, I get most of my influence though from like non EDM stuff. So I'd say like 3-6 Mafia is probably my biggest musical influence of all time, just because like it's funny seeing like funk become a thing now, because like I've been doing cowbell type intros way back in the day, you know? So yeah, like 3-6 and San Francisco. So a lot of Bay Area rap, like Mac Dre and like Andre Nicotina. I feel like stuff like that I'll listen to and get more psyched to produce than like listening to like a hour long mix of
dubstep,
long bass rhythm, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel you. Dude, it's funny because for me, like, my influences over time have, like, changed so much. Like, I used to be influenced by, like, Excision and Rusko and shit, like, back in 2010. And, like, that kind of got me into it, you know? And it switched, like, you know, Funkcase was, like, an influence of mine at one point. Recoil, like, with their subby, like, low-end wubby shit. Like, nobody knows this because I never really made it apparent, but I used to make fucking, like, deep, like, super wubby dubstep shit. And that was, like, a huge influence of mine at one point in time. And then, like, it like, grew into Charlie Snatcher. Charlie Snatcher is crazy. That shit still, in my opinion, like, it tops Trampa's shit, in my opinion.
Like, yeah. I mean, that era, sick, like...
Don't get me wrong, but, like, Charlie Snatcher, like, that's, like, the OG sound right there.
Yeah, the 2012 to 15 UK sound was so crazy, dude.
Yeah. I mean, even from there, dude, it's transformed. I remember at one point, I was, like, super stuck on, like, Virtual Riot sound design and shit.
Yep.
And, like, that was a huge influence for me. And, like, I mean, my sound has changed so much over the years. Like, Space Laces influences me, too. And then, like, Backplat came back with, like, some, like, new sounds and shit. And I was like, all right, this is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, though, like, recently, the past few years, like, nobody has influenced me the most other than, like, myself. Like, as shitty as, like, not to toot my own horn and shit, but I don't really listen to dubstep like that. Like, me and, like, my gang, Savage Society, like, we're our own, like, I'm influenced by, like, my gang. Like, whatever sounds they're putting out and shit, or, like, my friends, like, Tanner, like, everyone, like, all my homies, whatever they send me, like, is what influences me to make my shit now. But other than that, I listen to, like, a lot of tech house.
Hey, yeah, really? that's the only thing playing at my house most of the time.
Bro, like, sound design wise, bro, I love that shit. Like Walker and Royce, bro, like that shit, like gasses me up. But there's no, you can't hear any of that influence in my like dubstep. But like, God, I just love the way they push the envelope. Same with the Sponges. I don't know if you guys have heard of this.
Yep. I personally mix disco and bass house, so they're very similar to me. I met them and like we were just talking about music, and we were just like, yo, there's, like, not as much bassy funk and disco.
Bro.
And then we just talked about music, and then we found out, like, half of our show playlist is the same.
Dude, like, those fools and, like, Walker and Royce are for sure, like, my favorite artists right now. Yeah, and they're not even dubstep. Like,
You've been listening to Eli Brown at all?
Who?
Eli Brown. Eli Brown's, like, one of my
favorite. I've not heard of Eli Brown.
Dude, you gotta bump his shit. He's, like, making some of the
stuff. Right, yeah,
I can't do the favorite artist question though.
I'm not really a favorite. Yeah, I'm not a favorite kind of guy.
Oh no, I was gonna say I can't ever answer the favorite artist question without mentioning Nero though. I think Nero is probably my favorite electronic act of all time.
All right, wait, hold up. That just brought up a memory. Do you guys remember MLK?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Bro, Fabrication. Holy
fuck. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a huge influence on me. Oh,
Nero's discography is so crazy, though. It's coming. I mean, I got the chance to see them play live with Alana, the singer, at Coachella. And, like, I literally probably, like, if you look at my, like, end-of-year Spotify, I'll still be listening to, like, Welcome Reality, like, 100 hours in a year. You know what I mean?
Damn. What's that old fucking Nero tune? Is it When I Look At You? When I Look At You. You know that song?
Yeah. Nailed it.
Bro,
nailed it.
Oh, gee.
You should fill in as the new singer.
Yeah, huh? I got a good voice.
There you go. I'm wondering, like, also something that we talk about a lot when people come on is, like, how do you balance music with life? Or do you guys just go at music all the time? What do you do outside? I know, Tanner, you skate a lot. You skate every day.
I mean, I feel like I like have to work with like kind of a rigid schedule. I mean, this week's kind of an anomaly because I had to go out to a bunch of things, including my own shows. But like, I'm kind of a homebody now. I like wake up fairly reasonably, you know, do the thing, work on 40 ounce cult stuff. If I have any like merch customer service questions, handle that. And then I pretty much carve out like, you know, 10 a.m. to 4 for Dak Daniels. Mm-hmm. And then it's not always exactly rigid like that, but I find that, like, I work really good on a schedule. Like, oh, I'm going to go to the studio 3 days out the week. The other 2 days, I'm going to work from home and sesh on music. But I think the balance is rough earlier on. I mean, I'm 27, so, like, I got some of the harder drinking and partying out, like, years back. And I still have fun, but, like, I think it's really easy to get caught up into, like, I have to go out to this tonight, and I'm going to go do this tomorrow. I'm going to go sit around and listen to music and mix and whatever. And it's like, I think at the end of the day, like, if you can take time at least a majority of the days out the week and work on your own production, then that's, like, the best case scenario for music. But I also don't force it. If I feel genuinely, like, uncreative one day, I'll just work on, like, merch designs.
Yeah.
I feel that. Yeah, for me, I mean, I'm kind of the same as you, bro. Like, I'll schedule, like, 3 days out of the week to, like, be in the studio. The other 3 days, well, 4 days. The other 4 days, Steph, my girlfriend, she has her own business, so I help her out with her business a lot. And I do a lot of, like, gaming and shit. And yeah, it's mainly just, like, a fine balance between, like, pleasure and, like, work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when I'm not working, I'm kind of just, like, chilling, watching TV and, like,
yep.
You know, doing music. And then, like, occasionally, last month, I played a show, like, every weekend. So that was cool. But, yeah, it's trying to find a balance between, like, the traveling and, like, the pleasure and, like, just going, you know,
yeah.
Working nonstop.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. What do you play?
Oh, I play Fortnite.
Fortnite, bro.
Yeah, I'll play Fortnite. I'll play Pokemon. I'll play Super Mario Party, Mario Kart. Like, I have a Switch, so I'll be on the Switch here and there. And then, like, when I'm on the computer, I'll play Fortnite with the boys.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been sucked into that Elden Ring, bro.
Don't even get me started.
Solar showed me that shit, and he wanted me to get it. Bro, it looks way too addicting.
I was playing earlier today, bro. Like, seriously.
I love Elder Scrolls. Like, I used to play that shit a lot. I used to play World of Warcraft and stuff, but, like, I used to be, like, pretty good into Elder Scrolls. So I didn't even know Elden Ring was a part of that. And when, it like, isn't. I heard about the... It isn't?
No, it's more part of the Dark Souls.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's not Elder Scrolls?
No. It, like, the Dark Souls.
Oh, okay.
Type of gameplay.
I must be confused. It looks sick, though.
I had, like, a weird period of time in my life where, like, I genuinely took, like, probably, like, a 5-year break from all video games when I, like, first was getting into music and stuff. And then it's crazy, dude. I hadn't played, like, on a console since, like, PS3, and I got the PS5. And damn, dude, yeah, that Elden Ring was, like, the first time I've sat down for, like, 6 hours playing a game. And I was like, damn, feels crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely play your life away sometimes.
100%.
I've been there.
Well, it's cool. Like, I actually, like, I'm, like, a huge, huge, huge Lord of the Rings fan. Like, I've read the books.
Love Lord of the Rings.
And I'm, like, really gnarly, like, into, like, reading, like, the art lore and stuff like that, like, on the outside of Lord of the Rings. I read a lot. So, like, a lot of my literature lately has been, like,
the difference between you and me.
Dude, so fun, bro. Like, especially with, like, planes and stuff, man. Like, I sometimes, like, it helps me get tired easier. Like, I'll sit and, like, read.
Yeah,
like,
I can't get through 2 pages without falling asleep.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, dude. I used to read, like, a lot of weird books on the road, too. Like, books about, like, psychedelics and, like, books about, like, old, like, people, like, inventing the first synths and stuff.
Ooh,
okay. Dude, that Kindle, bro, is fire. I mean, books like all it.
You know that? I'm one of those guys that just likes to watch movies on the plane.
True.
I don't know about you, but, like, do you have AirPods?
Yeah, dude, the AirPod Pros are so sick.
Dude, I have the AirPod Pros, but, like, sometimes when I'm on the plane, the, like, noise cancellation, it, like, fucks with my equilibrium, and that makes me nauseous.
Dude, I have a theory that it definitely is messing with my ears, because I've noticed, like, my ears felt a little weird after it.
It's so weird. Like, I get, like, weird lightheadedness feeling sometimes. I have to turn off the noise cancellation to, like, feel normal on the plane sometimes.
I will say the best thing on planes is, like, my guilty pleasure when I'm flying home. Is if I'm, like, real hungover and, like, I'll get, like, that Bloody Mary in the morning too on the plane, like the hair of the dog. I love watching, like, old war movies. And then I get home.
Okay. Dude, that's just, like, one of my favorite type of genres of movies.
Oh, for sure, bro. I'll get home and be, like, almost a tear in my eye and be like, ah, dude, I got it so good.
Yeah. Dude, my girlfriend hates those movies. So, like, I have to, like, watch them when she's not around, like, on a plane or, like, when she's sleeping or something.
Yeah, sometimes I'll do, like, I'll, like, watch, like, one on the way home, and then I'll get home and be like, all right, dude, we're throwing on Black Hawk Down. I need some Orlando Bloom.
Oh, what's that? What, have you seen Hacksaw Ridge?
Yeah, on the gas, too.
Dude, that one's crazy, bro. There was another one. It was like Siege on Jadoville or something. Have you seen that one?
Nah.
You need to watch that. That one's good too.
I only watch like one every couple of months when I'm flying home, and it's like the right. It's like the stars align correctly.
Guilty pleasure, bro. Feel it.
Do you only go home like how often are you home?
I mean, I'm home pretty much anytime I'm not on the road for shows, you know, like, yeah, like this past weekend I did Denver and El Paso. So like I stayed out for both those ones.
Yeah.
But some, unless it's like only a 1 day break in between and it's like inconvenient for me to fly home, I'm like a sucker for just like my own bed and like having some sense of normalcy. So like, I know some guys will be like, oh, I play here in a week, so I'm going to stay out there. And I'm like, hell no.
Doesn't make sense financially sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I'll just go when I need to play and then come home.
Yeah.
Unless, like my girlfriend wants to make a trip out of it, then we'll go and, like...
True. We'll do that with, like, Montreal and shit, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of artists, like, that I've talked to sometimes like to make trips out of it. For example, I think it was Dombreski. I was talking to him, like, when he came down to Orlando for EDC the last year, and he, like, made a whole extra week's trip and he stayed here and he was just chilling.
It's like vacation time out there, you know?
The house guys are built different too. They're ready to fucking party.
Yeah, bro.
Are you in Florida or are you in Oregon?
I'm in Florida.
Yeah, I was gonna say the house guys love hanging out there.
Oh my God, it's perfect weather, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. It's I'm pretty blessed, not gonna lie. It's like clear blue skies.
You got some nice beaches out there. I don't know. You live in Orlando, right?
What?
You said you live in Orlando, though, right?
Yeah.
There isn't really a beach near there, is there? Or am I tripping?
It's like right smack dab in the middle of Florida, so not really like
an hour. Because I've been to Tampa and like Clearwater Beach. Holy shit, that is one of the nicest beaches I've seen.
Yep.
For sure.
A great memory that I had was going to a venue called Shepherd's in Clearwater Beach. Mm. And I saw it's like a stage on the beach. And it's like a beach resort and a stage like right on the beach.
I fuck with that. I've never seen something like that.
It was so cool, bro. And I
didn't Excision do something like that in like Cancun, or is that happening?
Yeah, I think it's in Mexico. I think it's coming out.
Okay, yeah. Yo. It's so funny because like I'm gonna be in Cancun next week, but like I'm pretty sure that that's happening like the next week or something. So I'm not gonna be there. I gotta go do some vacation time, my boys.
I think there was a show in Mexico. Oh, no, it got canceled, but it was going to be Puerto Vallarta in Mexico.
I've been there. It's nice there.
And it was going to be, like, a night-based show plus Dombreski and Chami and, like, a couple other, like, tech house artists. And it was all going to be one show. And my family was going to be in Mexico on a family trip, and we're all going to be together. But it was, like, not going to be there. So I couldn't go. So I was like, shit.
That sucks, dude. Chami's sick. I like that whole, like, crew.
Yeah,
he's so sick.
That's one of my main inspirations. Like, Chami's song Afterlife was, like, my first.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, Chami's come from, like, he's definitely been in phases, too. Like, he used to do the Oliver Heldens, like, Future House type shit. That's, like, Afterlife and stuff like that.
Yep.
But, like, I have a friend who kind of looks like Chami, and it's probably been, like, three different instances now where it's been, like, 2 a.m. at, like, a festival or something like that. Like, I've definitely had a good time. I've had a couple vodkas, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I've literally run up on him. Like, it's happened, like, three times where I'm like, Chami, what?
Oh, my God.
My homie will turn around and he'll be like, Tanner, dude, this is, like, the second time tonight this has happened.
You should tell your boy to, like, wear the priest costume.
But, dude, he, like, same exact build, super tall. Same beard, and
he,
I like.
Is he a Cali guy?
Vegas. So it makes even more sense because I'm like, oh, dude, I'm in Vegas. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's so funny. Like, I even told him last time. I was like, dude, you're doing it to yourself. Like, I think he's doing it intentionally.
That's so funny.
Probably. I mean, he hasn't changed the haircut yet, right?
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
That's funny. So, do you guys like any of Kirby's stuff?
Dude, the old shit. I remember. Okay, so
the
like
old shit.
I like. When the whole Oliver Heldens thing, when was that? Like 2014 or something?
Yeah.
It was like 2014, 20, whatever. That period of time right there, dubstep was kind of like, eh? Or it was like maybe 2016 or something like that. And for me, I wasn't even really paying attention to dubstep that much. I was listening to like Oliver Heldens, Kirby, like all that shit. Like Pep and Rash, you know Pep and Rash?
Oh, bro, don't even.
Yeah, like all that shit. Like, dude, I was all about it. Honestly, now, like, I don't really like that style as much anymore, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's funny, like, I've been through phases myself. Like, I think, like, at the beginning, when I started Decimate in, like, 2013, and then I stopped Decimate. Like, I wasn't even doing Decimate anymore. I switched to, like, weird, deep, jazzy, dubstep shit, and then I brought Decimate back in, like, 2018.
Gotcha. So, and when did you guys say that, or I don't know if I asked, but when did you guys, like, meet or connect? I don't think I asked yet.
Dude, when did we freaking meet?
Yeah, I'm trying to think out. Probably through something Savage Society.
Yeah, it was probably through a Savage Society show or something, like maybe like 2018.
Because I was first friends with the Blood Boys, the Blood Thing. Yeah. Shout out, one of my favorites.
Yeah, you guys used to do a lot of shows together.
Yeah.
I think that's where I met you. It was probably at a Blood Thinner's DAC show.
Well, and funny enough, our first 40 Ounce Cult compilation, the title track on it was a collab with me and Blood Thinners. Okay. And then we also had Subtronics on that compilation. We had Bomber. Yeah. So, I mean, that was like the peak era of like my homies that I loved. And that was like, we just started doing free compilations.
I think when you guys did that, that was like before I was even a part of like Savage Society.
Really? Oh yeah. You know what? Our first compilation was like 2016. I think.
Yeah. Cause I wasn't even really like jumped into the gang until like late 2017, early 2018.
And I just imagine all the Savage Society guys just kicking the shit out of you on the ground, yeah. jumping you in.
Exactly, bro.
Holy shit.
Got a black eye? No. But yeah, bro, fucking, that's sick. I mean, you guys have so much history. Like, I just love the fact that I'm originally from LA. You know, you're from LA. And like, 40 Ounce is LA. Savage Society is LA. But like, there's never any beef or competition. It's just like,
oh, no, not at all. I feel like if anything, like, you guys are like, I feel like there's like something really healthy about having friends who do something similar that you're like actively rooting for.
Yeah. Also yeah. go off of like, I think that like not, and I wouldn't even use the term friendly competition because I've never looked at it like that, but I also think that like if we're both doing good, it helps dubstep.
We have collaborations, you know, whether it be shows or like music and stuff like that. Like I remember, I think it was in like Riverside or something. It was a big venue and it was like Bloods and you as like the headliners. I think that might have been when I met you. And that was like, I think 2017 or 2018. And I just remember from then, I'm like, dude, Tanner's a fucking boy, bro.
Like, I feel like from the first time we linked, we've been friends though, which is rad.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Cause I mean, we're both nice people and stuff, but no, like,
yeah, for sure. But
to be honest, dude, like I just human interaction for me stresses me the fuck out. So like,
same.
When I like someone, it's like very, very clear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You as well, soul. You know what I mean? My sister.
Oh, thanks, bro.
My sister did the show with you and spoke so highly of you. I was like so excited to do this.
Dope. Thank you.
It's good to keep positive energy around, you know?
Yes, yeah, sir.
That's what I try to do with this thing. Like, the whole point, and the point of my brand, like, as an artist, is to bring people together. Like, my catchphrase in the brand is unity through music.
So there we go.
The whole thing is, like, bringing people together and bringing artists together. That's why I wanted to like start this podcast and like,
I like that.
Instagram lives and then bring you guys together and get to have everyone else watch us. And like, you guys are talking like, you know, you're just having a chill conversation and everyone that likes your music, follows you, gets to hear it. Cause no one hears these kind of conversations cause they're normally like backstage or in the studio when you're talking about shooting the shit. So it's like the coolest thing to like hang out and connect you guys. Because, like, I don't know when the last time you talked like this was, you know?
Yeah, for real. Yeah. It's nice having an excuse to chat, like, about general sense of music stuff. Because I feel like a lot of the time you meet up with people or stuff like that, it's such a limited interaction.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Ryan and I played Texas together, it's like, sweet, best time ever. We hung out, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, you have to go back to reality. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of quick, short and sweet. But, like, I mean.
But we talk a lot, which is rad.
It's definitely a good fix, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nah, I definitely love talking about production and stuff. I don't do it often enough because I mean there aren't too many people that like understand the technicalities like that surround me. But I mean recently I was fortunate enough to have a conversation with one of my friends that's a producer, and like I ended up going on and on probably for like a couple hours, but he was so hyped. He was like, thank you so much for all the knowledge, like blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, honestly, it felt good for me to just shit it out. Like, I haven't spoken like that, you know, in a long time. So it's fun.
Shout out Proto Hype in the chat. Proto Hype was like one of the main people who like inspired me to go to Icon and always been one of my favorite producers and favorite people. So
what was your experience like at Icon?
Oh, man, I loved it. I literally remember I was in college and I was producing music on the side. And
That's me right now.
Yeah, I mean, and I was going to school for graphic design, and like, it wasn't something that I was like crazy passionate about. And no joke, I was like on YouTube watching like a production tutorial. And at the time, it was very limited in terms of what people were posting and putting out. And I literally got an ad, or maybe it was like a video recommended, and it was like Icon Collective, Protohype. And it was like the first time I saw music school with an artist that I like actively listened to, like them showcasing that artist and that person like taking that experience and that saying that helped them. So when I went, it was amazing. Like I went in with the mindset of like, I want to learn how to be like all around producer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I didn't want to just go play quarterback. I wanted to learn every position. So right. It's rad. I mean, like that experience has given me like, I got to work with Chief Keef's label Glow Gang for almost a year, you know, and do beats and engineer vocals and stuff. And then I also do soundtrack work on the side to this day. You know, I have a salary gig with a TV network that I do soundtrack stuff with. And I would never have been able to get those opportunities without having like a base of traditional studio knowledge, if that makes sense.
No, definitely.
You know, and I think some people are like, I'm going to go to music school and learn how to make rhythm. And I feel like that mindset isn't bad, but I feel like a healthier mindset is I'm going to go learn how to make great music and make it sound great. Yeah. And then you can do whatever the hell you want. You know,
exactly. Yeah, instead of locking yourself into like a niche genre, like might as well just learn how to be creative.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Essentially.
Well, being confident enough to walk into any studio, get set up, record vocals, do yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's
a skill that people don't talk about, like the same way they talk about Big being a one trick pony, you know? And that's not my goal. Like, you know, if opportunity knocked and there was like a big production to do or like work and do instrumentals for a vocalist or something like that, I feel that would be, you know, answer the call, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, that's what you notice for a lot of the biggest artists. I mean, come on, like, Chami does production for Lady Gaga.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
He's one of her main producers on her, like, albums and songs and shit. And then, like, DJ Snake doing all his stuff with all these, like, mainstream, huge-ass, like, touring, you know, pop artists and Hispanic rap artists and all that. So, like,
yeah, I like that.
I mean, if you can do whatever, then the world's your oyster when it comes to music. So I feel like it's really important. But beautiful question from Price.
How many Vienna sausages has Dak eaten today? It's like a running joke because like one of my friends, or a group of my friends from back home, I grew up in San Francisco. Some of my homies from back home just think it's hilarious to like anonymously mail me Vienna sausages through Amazon.
What the hell?
And it got to the point, I've never even eaten one in my life. It got to the point where there was probably like a stack of like a dozen boxes. And I didn't want to be wasteful and just throw them away. So I just like literally had them in my trunk, like shameful at my car. And I remember I tried to go give them to like this, there's like a little like tent encampment nearby my old place. And I like tried to give them to this guy there. And he looked at me like I was giving him like arsenic. He was like,
what the hell?
He was like, why the fuck would I want these? So I just threw them away after that.
Bro.
Yeah, it's evil, though, because they'll still do it to this day. It's the same dude who mailed me the dick bong for Christmas.
Oh, my God. Hey, but you used that.
I hit it one time, and it had a hole in it, and it leaked all over my counter.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
It was like, I mean, dude, it's like divine intervention at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just hilarious. Dude, we got to do a Savage Cult show. By the way, that show that we threw ourselves last weekend, I think it was.
I heard it popped.
Sold out, bro.
I know. And Globos is so legendary. I feel like I have such fond memories of seeing you guys there.
Dog, seeing we need Solar. To do a Savage Cult show.
But no, I was talking. We went to the City Morgue show on Tuesday, so I talked.
Oh,
about
you
it
did?
There.
Oh shit.
Okay. Yeah, and then I want to do a merch collab too because I feel like our merch designs are so similar. You know what I mean?
Solar and Arthur have been like killing it with that. I didn't have anything to do with the like recent release, but the hoodie that they just put out is so sick, man.
Yeah, I'm so thankful to have people like him in the scene, man. I think that that's like it's nothing more pure.
Dubstep Thrive.
Yep.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Favorite set played in Australia?
I played in Australia. Yeah, I played. Have you toured Australia, Ryan?
One time.
Yeah, I was gonna say two places.
I've done two shows, but like one tour.
I love playing in Perth because that's like the vibe out there. I have so many friends out there. Also, I think it's hilarious that there's like a whole Nang culture out there.
My God, dude. I didn't know what that was at first.
Like Perth is the only place you'll see people just doing public whippets out in front of shows. It's so funny.
But they call them Nangs, bro. It's hilarious. I was like,
and then But the best show I played out there, bro, is I played in an abandoned jail in Melbourne on my second tour out there, and I played a festival there with Party Favor. Oh no,
isn't
no,
it called, isn't Party it Melbourne? Thieves. It's Melbourne.
Melbourne,
bro.
Yeah.
Melbourne.
But I played this abandoned jail there, and like I'm terrified of jails. I got arrested when I was like 18. It sucked, and it was like the worst shit ever. So I like have like dreams.
Holding cell like, gang.
No, I have like nightmares. So it was so funny. I played in there, and literally it was a cell block I played in. So that was probably cool. The best one.
That's crazy. So for me, I played Origin Fest in Perth with the Savage Society gang. It was me, Blankface, and Blood Thinners. It was fucking sick. I got blacked out though. I was so fucked up. I think that was the only time in my entire career where I like chugged pretty much half a bottle and then like proceeded to then fall off the stage. But I caught myself. I landed on my feet. I'll say that. I landed on my feet. I was fucked up. Nice. Australia for the first time. That was New Year's. I think that was 2019, 2020 New Year's.
Okay, guys. So we are like at the end. It flies by because we're just like chilling and chatting. But in the last like 5 minutes, I normally just ask you guys to talk about what you have going on with your music, releases, 40 Ounce Cult for you, Tanner. Just let us know what's going on.
Well, Tanner and I are planning to do one of my tunes. We haven't set it in stone yet, but we're going to be releasing one of my tunes coming up here soon. So that's going to be on 40 Ounce Cult.
Hey, nice.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And then I have a release next Friday, actually. I mean, this is like the exclusive. I haven't announced it yet, but I have a collab with Jekyll and Hyde coming out next Friday on 40 Ounce as well. And then we have another installment of our Cult Classics compilation this month. Got another merch drop. And then, yeah, just grinding on music and doing the damn thing this month.
Let's go.
You got any shows this month on schedule, Ryan?
Me, no, not this month. I'm going on vacation this month. I took this month off. I'm gonna be in Cancun next week, so
dude, lucky. Have a blast.
Nice. I will. I was in Cancun like 3 months ago, 2 months ago, and
I love Cancun.
It was dope.
I've never been to Mexico, dude. I'm trying to go.
You gotta go. You're like pretty close too. You should at least go down to like Tijuana.
I want to go to TJ really bad.
Go to like Papa's and Beer out there and just like party.
How's the bass scene?
Hong Kong, bro. That's it. Hong Kong and TJ.
Hong Kong, shut the fuck.
That's a brothel.
Yeah, it is. Nah, the bass is actually pretty cool. I actually played Papa's and Beer once, like a few years ago.
Oh, dope.
Cool. Yeah, I think it was Chami that was the headliner or something.
Hey.
Are you sure it wasn't my boy from Vegas?
Maybe. Tommy knockoff.
There you go. All right, boys. Thanks for hopping on with me. I really appreciate this.
Oh, of course, man.
Thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Dude, so much fun. Hopefully we can do it again in the future.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yes. And shout out Taylor Wednesday in the chat for linking this up.
Thank you, Taylor. I appreciate that. All right. So I'll catch you guys later. Thanks for coming on. All right.
Later, guys.